Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I am joined by two scholars, Lucas Morrell and Jonathan White. Both of them are professors and of politics, American studies. Jonathan's with American studies. Lucas is professor of politics. But more importantly for our purposes today, they've just come out with a new book that they've edited. It's called Measuring the Man, The Writings of Frederick Douglass on Abraham Lincoln. The book is available everywhere. Gentlemen, I am a Lincoln buff, and I love reading biographies and stories about Abraham Lincoln, but the way that you put this together I thought was so great, because you're telling essentially Lincoln's story through the eyes of somebody else. And so I guess starting with you, Lucas, when you sat down to put it together, was this always going to be a Lincoln story with the Douglass idea, or what's the genesis of this project?
Yeah, it's a great question, because the fact of the matter is this was not the book we originally intended to write. It was a pleasant discovery for ours that Douglass had written so much, so consistently over three decades about almost his favorite subject, not quite, Abraham Lincoln. It first began as a book that was going to contain the most important things Douglass said about Abraham Lincoln, an orator, great one, commenting on another orator, great one. And then we would add a few other of the kind of classic, iconic Frederick Douglass' speeches, the most famous one being, you know, what is called, "What to the Slave is the 4th of July," that fantastic 1862 speech. But he doesn't start tracking Lincoln until 1858. But the book grew out of that original idea into the thing that we ended up doing, which was 100 documents, editorials, speeches, letters, excerpts from his third autobiography, Life and Times, where it's only about Abraham Lincoln. It was amazing to see him so consistently engrossed with a man he would eventually consider to be a true statesman and not simply a representative of white America's best hopes for itself. And so it was, it's one of those revelations that you don't kind of expect when you're doing research. You start up with one thing and you end up, in this case, we hope, with something better.
And Jonathan, the thing I think is interesting when you go back and look at writings and speeches, especially the speeches. Writings are one thing. You can find the writings. We all know what they say. Speeches, you're kind of at the mercy of the transcriber. And so was there ever any inconsistency? Would you find different copies of the same speech and there were words that didn't necessarily jive with each other?
Yeah, we found that with a number of speeches. Some of those we noted in footnotes because we thought they were minor differences, but in a few cases we actually produced multiple versions of a speech, the most famous of which is Douglass's Mission of the War speech, which he gave a number of times during the war, and we included the version that he gave in New York City. And the interesting thing about that speech, what we think happened was he probably gave a written version of the speech to one newspaper in New York, and they reproduced it in the way that Douglass had written it out. But then it also appears that Douglass probably made some offhand comments, some of them kind of colorful jokes or off-color jokes, some even including the N-word in them. And what we think happened was that reporters for other newspapers heard that from the audience and wrote it down. And so in those cases, we really wanted to try to capture what Douglass said, both as Douglass presented it through what would have been his own version of the speech, but also what the reporters heard.
Lucas, did you get a sense that Douglass was overthought or thought about Lincoln more than anything else? Or because we tend to get blindsided by these things, or not blindsided, but nearsighted by these things, because oh my gosh, all that Douglass thought about was Abraham Lincoln. Did he have other aspects of his life, and we get it skewed because we have this collection together now?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of overstated earlier saying that he was engrossed with Lincoln. I think as far as that goes, it's true, but he was engrossed with Lincoln because Lincoln was the most powerful man on the planet in the 1860s, a man who could do the thing that Douglass was most consumed about, which was to produce civil and political equality for black Americans, both the enslaved as well as the free. Even the freest black person in the United States wasn't the equal in the eyes of the law or constitution of any state. And so he was concerned about Lincoln because he was concerned about himself and those like him, fellow black Americans. And so by looking at Lincoln through the lens, through the eyes of Frederick Douglass, we see what Douglass's priorities are. His priorities are, number one, getting the vote for black Americans. He knew that if the Civil War was successful, and even if emancipation produced an amendment to the Constitution, as it did, and Lincoln lobbied for that behind the scenes in 1864, 65, before his assassination, he knew you can be free from a legal master, but still enslaved to the political community unless you had the vote to defend yourself. And so it's through his opinions, again, in editorials, speeches, letters, that we see him assessing, evaluating, or as we put it, quoting him, measuring the man, measuring Lincoln to determine what is it that he could get Lincoln to move the country towards in the matter of law and constitution so that black people could be the true equals of white people, as he thought the Declaration of Independence promised.
Jonathan, was there ever any indication that Abraham Lincoln knew everything that Frederick Douglass was saying about him or cared about it?
Well, we don't know how much of Douglass Lincoln would have read, but we do know that Lincoln was aware of who Frederick Douglass was. And we know that because in August of 1863, Frederick Douglass showed up at the White House, uninvited and unannounced. At this point, Abraham Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation, and he had authorized the recruitment of black soldiers. And Douglass got on board with this. He sent two of his sons off to fight. He was working as a recruiter for black troops. But then these black soldiers were not getting equal treatment, they didn't get equal pay, and the Confederate government was saying they would be treated as slaves in insurrection and executed or enslaved if caught on the battlefield. And so Douglass went to the White House to confront Lincoln about these issues and to try to push for equality for black men in uniform. And when Douglass showed up, he didn't know if he would be welcomed in or turned away. But he was actually welcomed into Lincoln's office, and he tried to introduce himself, and Lincoln took him by the hand and said, "Oh, I know who you are. Mr. Seward, the Secretary of State, has told me all about you." And they sat down and had a really meaningful conversation together about these issues. So that conversation alone tells us that Lincoln knew who Douglass was. They would meet again a year later, and this time at Lincoln's invitation. Lincoln asked Douglass to come to the White House so they could talk about how to make freedom as real for as many black people as possible. So by that point in the war, Lincoln really sees Douglass as someone who can be a collaborator to push for black freedom.
I'm chatting with Lucas Morrell and Jonathan White about their brand new book, Measuring the Man, The Writings of Frederick Douglass on Abraham Lincoln. The book's available everywhere. And gentlemen, I liked the whole idea that Frederick Douglass, I think Lincoln was very useful to him is what I took, because it's one thing to go after and try to abolish slavery, but in dealing with the post-war era, there was a little bit of struggle, wasn't there, with Frederick Douglass, and I guess, Lucas, I'm asking you this, was there a struggle that maybe Lincoln wouldn't have been the best post-war president?
Oh, absolutely. This was one of the big reveals, if you will, the discoveries of our project. We didn't go looking for this. In fact, it was the last thing we expected. Everybody knows that Andrew Johnson was an absolute disaster, not just for black people, but for the country during Reconstruction. Within days of Lincoln's assassination, he actually had written a letter to a few British friends, British abolitionists, and these letters expressed two things. One, of course, he was heartbroken over the death, the murder of a man he would call his friend. And so while he expressed grief and mourned Lincoln's death, he also took the occasion in this letter to say that he expected that the new president, Andrew Johnson, would actually do a better job, I'll repeat that, actually do a better job with Reconstruction than Lincoln if Lincoln had not been murdered. Now, why? One thing, as Jonathan pointed out, he learned from Lincoln through these three interactions, especially his two private interviews with Lincoln, was his personal qualities, his moderation, his caution, his amiability, and his honesty. He thought these things helped keep the loyal portion of America together, a union that was needed in order to successfully suppress the rebellion. But those very personal qualities, Douglass thought, would ill suit Lincoln for Reconstruction. In other words, he thought Douglass thought Lincoln would just lacked what was what Douglas called a loyal wrath or punitive measures to put down the slave power or the planter class that would survive the ending of the Civil War, even the death of slavery. The death of slavery would not produce the death of the slave power. And so he was really worried that had Lincoln survived, he wouldn't have had the qualities necessary, the firmness of governance that he thinks or he thought the South would require. So here's a quote from this letter to this British abolitionist that she released to the newspaper that was not published in the United States. Mr. Johnson, Andrew Johnson, is in many respects better qualified for the work to come than was Mr. Lincoln. He thought that it was Johnson that would give the black man equal rights. Johnson would give him the vote. Johnson would punish the South for bringing about the rebellion, bringing about the cost in blood and money, treasure, that the Civil War brought on. So quite a shock for us to discover this, but we discovered it because it was in a British newspaper, not an American one.
As scholars, I can imagine you guys discovering these things and then all of a sudden kind of palming the cards that no other scholar finds it before you can publish it. Is there a little bit of that goes on, Jonathan?
Yeah, you definitely have a sense of paranoia when you discover something really incredible like that April 20th letter from 1865, and you know you're sitting on it for months and months and months while you're waiting for the book to come out. And you so badly want to tell people because it's such an incredible find, but at the same time, you don't want anyone else to scoop you, and you want to wait till the book comes out. So we told very few people about our discoveries for the last year or so. We found them last summer, and we're just waiting patiently until the book came out.
Is that paranoia justified in the academic community? I mean, is it that close to somebody else discovering it? It took so long for anybody to find it.
Yeah, the thing is, with digitized sources now, anyone can go online and search for anything, so you never know what other people might be looking for, and the moment something is discovered, if someone's not working on a book or an article, they might go to social media, and then it takes off. About 5 or 6 years ago, a friend of Lucas and mine, Scott Sandage, and I discovered a letter that Douglas wrote in 1876 that was really important during the summer of 2020 because it had to do with the Lincoln statue in Washington, D.C. that was making national headlines. And we went to social media and wrote an article for Smithsonian Magazine, and it went viral. We got reported in newspapers around the world. We were on dozens of radio shows, NPR, and everything. And it was because people were eager to hear what Frederick Douglass had to say about something that was relevant to our time. And so finding a new letter like this is, you know, it has potential to really blow up and catch the public's imagination.
All right. Well, the book was just an incredible collection, and the way you've edited it and annotated it was so interesting. The book is Measuring the Man, The Writings of Frederick Douglass on Abraham Lincoln. It is edited by Lucas Morrell and Jonathan White. They're both joining me this morning. Lucas and Jonathan, thank you so much for this treasure of letters you've collected for us and annotated, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, thank you so much.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.